Let me see.
There it is.
Cool. Don't know why it's not. Oh, it helps if I plug my camera in.
All right. Well, while you're working on the camera, I'm going to roll the intro credits. So we have credits.
Credits now.
Reddits.
Credits. And an intro.
I'm here.
There you are.
I'm here.
There we go.
Whoa, this is like official.
I wrote that.
Oh my gosh. The Toddcast.
It is. Welcome to the Toddcast, everybody. Oh my God. Yep. All right, there we go. Sorry. So crazy. All right. Garrett here.
Yay! I'm here. I'm here. What's going on? How are you guys?
Busy.
Yep. That's about it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you were like, we do a podcast. I was like, how do you have time?
You know what?
Podcast.
This, I will tell you my secret. This is what forces me to read comics every week. So if I don't do it, I don't really read a lot of comics. And I would rather read comics and talk to cool guests like you than you know, and hang out with my friends on a Thursday night, then do whatever. And we're usually done just in time for me to catch Grey's Anatomy. So it works out.
Grey's Anatomy? Are you a big Grey's Anatomy fan?
I am.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Dude, so.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's had to be like.
that was my first reaction as well.
It had to be like 20. Had to be like 2010. Or 20. It was after 2007, because we were already living in Pittsburgh. But it was before 2015 when we moved into the house.
Yeah.
So sometime in that 5 years, my wife's like, I'm going to try to watch this. And I'm like, oh, I've always heard good things. I'm going to watch it too. So we watched like the first three seasons together. And she's like, I'm out. I can't. And I'm just like, this is awesome. And I just keep plowing through it.
So. I do appreciate the ridiculous nature of that show. When COVID started, and like everyone was just burning through their watch list.
Yeah.
Like we had watched like everything. And my wife was a fan of the show like back before. Yeah. And she was like, oh, I want to watch this again. And I'm just home. So like, it was just on all the time. And then eventually she's like, you should watch this with me. And we went through like the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
And my favorite part is just how insane. There is a scene, the best scene of any television show ever.
Mm-hmm.
Is when, what's the heartthrob doctor's name?
McDreamy.
Yeah, McDreamy. Yeah. So McDreamy is Derek like Shepard. Working on a guy, and like this person flatlines, and he starts elbowing their chest, and like, I'm like, this dude is a neurosurgeon,
mm-hmm.
and this man flatlined, and he's giving him the people's elbow, trying to like bring him back,
right?
Like that. I was like. I love it. 100%. Right. Sold me on the show there. I was like,
yep.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yep,
why wouldn't you fucking slam your elbow into this person to bring him back?
That's exactly great. What we thought.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
I still don't watch it. So,
dude, no that character's farewell episode is like one of the most heart-wrenching episodes on the planet. Oh,
it's just so awful. I just can't. I can't care about most. I can't care about most of those characters because they're just so ridiculous.
They're all disposable anyway. It's like watching a medical version of Walking
Dead.
That's
true.
I will tell
minus
you.
Minus zombies.
I rewatched all of ER during the.
See, ER was a solid show,
dude. Okay, ER was good. Yeah, ER was good until pretty much like when Clooney left, and then when Clooney left, it like.
It was
took
garbage
a big shit for like 2 years, and then the last like two seasons actually were pretty good. But like,
there was another big actor in that show too, right? What was the
Wiley?
There's
no Wiley. Well, that Ming-Na made Wen. His career.
Like Ming-Na Wen was in there.
Ming-Na Wen was in it. Yeah.
So was John Stamos, and
what has John What's Stamos her name? Been in?
What's her name? Who plays Clint Barton's wife in the MCU?
Yes,
she was in that.
Yeah.
Forrest That's Whitaker funny. was Clooney's like villain for like two or three episodes.
That's so funny.
Villain.
There was a villain in ER.
Yeah, right. He was like the guy who was trying to get him malpractice, to be the heel, bro. Right? And there was an episode that I always remember. Like, it was the last one I remember watching when it was airing. Before I think I went to college, and then I just stopped watching. But because my mom was like super into it. But it's the episode where the doctor who's like kind of short, bald, ended up with a hook hand. Like, he was like a giant dick.
Ended up on the hook hand.
And he walked out, and he's outside in the ambulance bay, and there's a helicopter that had crashed into the building, and it just falls on him and just obliterates him. And it was awesome.
That's fucking rad.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Right. So
it's been a long time since I watched it.
You've got to, like, shows like that, like, what do you do after? Like, it's like CSI. I loved CSI for so long. And I'm like, how? Of course they're doing fucking wild, like, shit, like helicopters crashing in building. They ain't got any ideas left. Like, what else are they going to do? Wow, someone got sick. We saved them.
I think that's why I loved Miami so much, because it was all just like crazy shit.
Like CSI Miami?
Yeah.
Oh
I was not a fan of Miami. Give me the New York.
New York was dirty, which is why I liked it. But
I don't think I watched was gritty. Much New York.
Yeah.
It was very gritty. And Gary Sinise is awesome in it.
Oh, I do love Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
He is very underrated in this. Yeah. I think he got an Emmy for the first season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Cyber was like, not that good. Except for the fact that Mark Paul Gosselaar was in it. So that was cool. It was like old man Zach Morris. And then and now they went back to Vegas, and it's just called Las Vegas. And Catherine's in it. And the first season,
bro.
The Grissoms were in the first season. Catherine's back.
The Grissoms? Husband and wife Grissom?
Yeah.
Yes.
Both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first season was kind of clunky because they were trying to find their footing, but after that it got real good.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'd fuck with that.
Yeah, because they went back to his ear issue.
Yeah.
Oh,
it
started,
which like you forget about after they mention it in like season two or three.
Yeah.
And then they totally ignore it the rest of the way. Yeah. And this one, it's like, no, we're gonna bring it back and we're gonna make it like actually happen.
Right.
So
that's crazy.
Let's be fair. A little bit better.
CSI took the downturn when Ted Danson became the chief, like the head
I was
of
listen, I love Ted Danson, but
Norm walks
wasn't it. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm like, give me more Good Place. Give me more Good Place.
Yeah,
Ted Danson,
absolutely.
And less CSI Ted Danson.
Yes, exactly.
Because nobody's Grissom, bro.
Right.
Lawrence Fishburne, I liked him.
He was great.
No, that's
true.
Was great.
He was really good.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in that.
Right.
That's so funny. Yeah, he was great.
That's why he didn't do the last Matrix movie. I think they were filming it while he was doing the CSI.
You turned down Matrix for fucking CSI, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's awful.
Wow. All right. I love where the show is going so far.
this is literally like
Garrett, you wanted to talk about Good Boys
Gen X griping about.
Let's talk about Grace and that.
Before we talk about all that, we have to remind everyone that we are now 15 days away from Three Rivers Comic Con.
Yep.
And it's gonna be crazy. It's going to be fun. Garrett's going to be there.
I am. Yeah.
Are you?
I'm going to be
there.
I
have a question. Are you bringing the claw machine?
I think so.
Okay. Then you guys are going to need to get electric at your booth. So make sure you follow that link. So I'm not paying for your electric. So.
You don't have to pay for our electric. but I'm going to make a note of that before I forget.
Cool. But it's going to be awesome. We're going to have all kinds of people there. CBCS will be there for all your grading needs. You can drop stuff off, get stuff witnessed. They will actually be two booths away from Garrett. It's going to be great. They're going to be right in the heart of the artist alley.
I'm sure Cody will be the one going.
So. Yep, he is. He's going to be there. He was there last year. He had a blast.
Sweet man.
He is.
Interesting story.
Yeah. We'll tell you later off the air.
Uh-oh.
Mostly because I don't want his wife to somehow find out. So anyway.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so intrigued.
Yes. but it's going to be a great time.
This edition of the podcast.
We have guys like P. Craig Russell and Craig Boldman and Andrew Pepoy and Russ Braun and Ron Frenz and Pat Olive and Robert Hackett, and he's doing the beer label, and all kinds of other guys.
Hack is going to be there?
Yeah, yes. Man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And who else? I know I'm missing somebody that I probably should mention. Oh, man. Tom Zaylor's coming in. Like, hey. He's awesome. Loving Capes and My Little Pony. Mike T. Gilbert. It's going to be good. There's some awesome panels. If you guys haven't looked at our panels yet, check them out. We have Craig Boldman, P. Craig Russell, and Mike Gilbert doing a Legends of Indie Comics panel. We have a Craig Boldman, Robert Hack, and Andrew Pepoy one doing one on the life of Archie and working on Archie books throughout the years.
That's so awesome.
We have Pepoy and Braun doing a Fables one. We have Ron Frenz and Pat Olaf doing the Mighty Thor Core, where they're going to talk about working on
Thor. Mighty Thor Core.
Hell yeah, man. And my God. I told them, like, my email to them was awesome. I was like, listen, guys, I know I ask you to do Spider-Man every year. Let's change it up. 6 years of Spider-Man panels. Pretty sure for 7, you want to do something else.
That's so dope.
So, but it's going to be awesome. And then we have cosplayer influencer panel. We have a do's and don'ts of insuring your comic collection with an actual insurance agent.
That's pretty cool. That's like the best one you've mentioned so far,
right?
Like that's, I've never heard of a panel like that. That's really rad.
So yeah. So a buddy of mine works.
Cause I've known people that have lost.
Oh yeah.
They're like, oh, sorry. We didn't cover that. Cause you didn't X, Y, and Z. Like that's pretty dope.
Yeah. So he's actually helping me insure mine too, which is good. He's a buddy of mine. He's been a supporter of the show for years. He cosplays while he's there. The last couple of years, he did the Kingpin. He promises me he promises me he's going to switch it up. I have an inkling it might be him as Homer Simpson for one of the days.
Him in the Moo-Moo?
Kingpin.
Right?
Kingpin to Homer Simpson.
Right? I mean, if you saw a picture of him, you'd be like, yeah, that dude could pull it off. the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be there. The 501st. We got a Star Trek guy, so they're going to have a backdrop of a transporter room and a Borg, like a Borg station. We're going to get your picture in there.
That's pretty cool.
We have the Steel City Ghostbusters. We have then we have tons of cosplay guests. We have a photo shoot going on each day. You can see how that works. And we have the beer release party on Friday at Bill's Burgers in the Westin. And then on Saturday, we have a charity drink and draw, also at Bill's Burger in the Westin. Everything you need right there.
Bill's Burgers?
Yeah, it's Bill's Burgers. It's a chain out of New York, but they're inside the Westin. It's like it's a burger bar. Burgers are great. I recommend the Ranch Hand. It's on like a pretzel bun, and it's
I can already feel my arteries clogging.
Right on there. And for the first time, we're gonna have the convention beer on tap at that bar. Hack will be there both days to sign labels.
That's sick.
It's gonna be awesome. I'm very excited. Yeah. So cool.
Wow.
All right. So now I'm gonna introduce Garrett. Not that I probably should have done that before, but you know.
So this is Garrett. He's a huge fan of Grey's Anatomy.
This is Garrett. We talk Grey's whenever we see each other.
Talk Grey's.
I'm going to do that.
Gabbing about Grey's. That could be our podcast.
Gabbing about Grey's. Garrett is one of the many people on the creative team of Good Boy.
I am indeed.
And we've had you in for signings for this book. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You and Chris came out. It was awesome. Hung out at the waterfront for an afternoon.
We sure did.
You've also done stuff on the shelf right now. Curse of Cleaver County.
Woo!
Yup. And then coming soon, Bad Girl.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, I love her so much.
Right? The only thing I really didn't find was like, I was like, I should put up war horns.
You know what's funny? I'm literally writing... Right now, the last 3 days, I've been writing a Warcorn screenplay because a studio was like, hey, we think this is dope for an animated feature film. We want to see a screenplay. And they were like, Garrett, write a Warcorn screenplay. I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'll lock myself in my basement for 3 days and write a screenplay.
Oh, man.
It's going to be dope.
That's awesome.
We're also working on a Warcorn's RPG. I don't know if you guys play RPGs a lot.
No, but that's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna try to make like a
Warcraft player right here. So
nice. We're gonna make a tabletop RPG for Warcorn. It's gonna be fucking rad.
That's super cool. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very excited. And then you are also here to not just talk about good, we can talk about good girl a little bit.
Bad girl, yeah.
Or bad girl, sorry.
It's okay. She can be a good girl
too. The opposite, I swear. We're gonna talk about the Good Boy Vinyl Collection collectible. Yep. This is freaking awesome, by the way.
Dude, this shit is wild. I'm so excited. We have never done a toy.
Right.
And I knew, like, I always wanted my own Funko Pop. I'm a huge Funko person.
Right.
You can't see the rest of it. But I was like, I really want a Funko Pop. I think it would sell really well. And like, we could not get Funko to even get back to us.
Really?
Yeah. And we were like, listen, we know it's like a big commitment, right? You got to buy like 30,000 units. Like, like, that's fine. Like,
we'll do it.
We'll it's do fine. It. And we couldn't even get a response. So that's we were crazy. Like, yeah. So we were like, okay, well, I guess we'll make our own. And turns out it's cheaper than making a Funko Pop. So, and it's a 10-inch figure. So it's much larger, much better quality.
And I doubt you had to make 30,000 of them.
We did not. We made 1,000 of them.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's going to be cool. We've got, we have three different versions. So we've got the regular, we have limited to 500. We have the regular full color, normal standard version. And then we've got what we call the art series. So we have art series one, which is all matte white. Those are limited to 350. And then we only have 150 of art series two, which is all matte black. And then on the Kickstarter, when it launches, we've got select artists who are going to take five of the white, all white matte versions, and they're going to fully customize them. So so Javon Jordan, Ryan G. Brown, Brand Flakes Art, Audra Lockwood,
nice,
and Josh Werner are all going to do like a little limited to five of those. And they'll all be one of a kind. It's going to be super sick. I know some people are doing mixed media, like some people are doing like graffiti, like street graffiti, like street art and shit.
That's awesome, man.
It's going to be really dope. So
Dude,
yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, launches the 25th of May.
Okay, well, good, because I just hit the remind me when it launches thing.
So dope.
One week from today.
Yep,
one week
from today.
And how much? What are the tiers going to look like to do this?
So it's $35 to get the regular 10-inch toy.
That's not bad at all.
No. In the box, 10-inch toy, $35. It's $70 to get the white series, and it's $150 to get the all black. And then if you want to get the custom ones, the prices for the custom ones are all determined by the artists, so they're all over the place. But we're keeping it super simple. Like that's the only stuff we're doing. Try to keep it as easy as possible for people to be like, there's too many options. Just be like,
part of me wants to take one of these, get one, a white one, and then take it down to Sora's house and just be like, yo, Sora.
Oh my God.
Like,
make him sexy.
Do me a beefcake Flint.
Beefcake Flint. Oh my God.
That's all I want is a beefcake Flint.
That would be so sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, her style is crazy, but I don't know if she'd ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'd do it or if she'd want to do it or she'd be able to do it.
I don't know.
I know she'd be able to do
it. Some people that I thought would be into it were like, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Like they were just so like confused by the idea of it. Yeah. And then other people that I didn't think would be into it were like, dude, can I get on this list? I want to do some of these. This is so sick. And I'm like, sure.
Those are the ones that have the DIY
props
at home and mess around.
Yeah, totally.
So
it's going to be a lot of fun.
As a retailer, is there a retailer
tier? There is. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There is. Yeah. So I think there's like five packs or something like that.
That is exactly what I'm looking for.
Yep. Five packs, and they're like obviously like heavily discounted. But yeah, it's going to be sick.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Look for them
in the stores, folks.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I imagine whatever's left over will just be con available or
yeah. So we're going to take the the rest of them to New York.
Nice.
So we're going to have like, everyone's going to get theirs from the Kickstarter, and then the rest will be at the Good Boy booth at New York.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, and at New York, we'll be doing the, we have a video game coming out.
What?
Yeah, we have a Good Boy video game coming out, and we're going to have at the New York booth, we're going to have an arcade cabinet, a custom Good Boy arcade cabinet that you can play the video game on.
Nice.
So you'll be able to sit there, play the
have to go
game,
to New York,
get
now.
The toy. Shit. Like, it's going to be sick.
You said we were going to go anyway. So what are you complaining
about? Yeah,
but
I might be working. like the show.
Me too, so, but you know.
No, I mean working for the show.
Like, oh. Yeah, because
I'm friends with guys that work there, and I told them, I'm like, hey man, like I as a showrunner would love to work on your staff for a show just to see how it works on the uber big scale.
Right? On that scale, yeah.
Right.
Be awesome.
And if he doesn't need me, if he doesn't need me, I'm just going to try to find a publisher that will let me, like, put me up in a hotel and, like, let me hang out with them for the weekend or the whole weekend at their booth and stuff. I may or may not know like 5 or 6 publishers that I could ask.
Yeah, they sounds yeah, like and take advantage of it as long as you can, because who knows, they might price most people out in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
It's getting so expensive to do New York anymore. Like,
oh, it's nuts. But
like last,
they're
last
still
New York,
like 80,000 like, people
here. Well, yeah. And there's just like a ton of like vendors selling t-shirts and Funko Pops and shit. Like,
yeah,
they just like last year there was like 3 or 4 publishers there. And I'm like, yeah. It's crazy. Cause like, how can you can't make enough money.
Yeah.
To get your money back. It's crazy. But I think the Good Boy booth will do good this year.
It's awesome. So yeah. what platforms will the game be available on once it's out?
So it'll be available first through Steam.
Okay.
For PC. And then we have plans for both console and mobile.
Nice.
So I mean it's just a matter of like we're doing Steam first and we're taking the time to port it to console first. And then once it's done with console, then we're gonna go to mobile. And then the very last step is Switch, because Switch is so much harder than every other thing to do games.
I don't doubt that.
If like, you can even get accepted into the eShop. So that's like its own thing. They only accept games from like Nintendo authorized game developers.
Right.
And so it's crazy. But PlayStation, Xbox, all of that, easy.
Yeah,
mobile, you can get on the Android store pretty easy. iOS is a little bit trickier, but we're all set there. And that's then awesome. Switch will be our last stop. So hopefully in the next year, available on every platform.
I'm so excited.
It's a side-scrolling, awesome. Run-and-gun, 16-bit, like Metal Slug kind of game.
Sweet.
It is crazy.
That is
awesome. I'll send you a link to the test level.
Dude.
It's sick. Yeah.
Yep. Oh man.
Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, yep. So excited. All right. So we've talked about Good Boy over the years. We've reviewed a couple different issues of it. But why don't you tell everybody what Good Boy's about?
Yeah.
And because you're gonna do it better than any of us will.
What's funny is I love being like when I do shows with other employees and they're like, they're pitching it because I was doing something. And like, it's almost like they're trying to over explain it. And I'm like, listen, have you seen John Wick? People are like, yes. I'm like, cool. It's the opposite. The human dies. The dog hunts down everybody responsible.
Yeah.
That's it. Follows Flint Sparks, who basically was a professional mercenary with his owner, John. And John is killed by former colleagues who are pissed that they got out of the industry. And now he's looking to get back at them for killing his best friend. Good Boy started as a love letter to John Wick, because Christina and I both were huge fans of the John Wick series. And we were like, oh, that's funny. We'll do like a one and done mini series about this, the opposite. It'll be so funny. And then we did the first one and people went nuts for it.
Yeah, they did.
And as we continued to go, I mean, it became the best-selling series Sourcepoint has ever published. And like now, like after we did the first one, we were like, okay, like that was fun. We did the parody and we love, but we love the characters. So like, how can we take it now and make it our own thing? So from volume two on through volume three and everything, we still kept like what we call Wickisms. Like it still has the John Wick feel. Mm-hmm. And sort of like the ridiculousness of the John Wick franchise. While we tried to basically, you know, tell our own story and not just do John Wick stuff over and over. And it was funny because we did our story and then like in the newest John Wick, right, there's a German Shepherd at the end. And we were like, oh, fuck off, man. Are you serious? Like, come on, man.
Hey, maybe Keanu reads the book. You never know.
I know for a fact that Keanu has gotten the book twice.
Oh yeah.
He has held it in his hands twice. Somebody I know, his sister was his personal assistant for years. And he backed the Kickstarter. He said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm gonna give the copy I'm getting to my sister, and she's gonna give it to him. And I was like, dope.
Sweet.
I was like, well, I'll send you an extra copy. You can keep yours. Just give me extra. And then one of my friends is buddies with Matt Kent, who obviously works on Berserker with him. And he sent it to Matt. Matt was like, Keanu think this is fucking hilarious. So and so that he was like, I gave a copy to him too. So I know he's seen it twice. I know that's that awesome. Derek, who created John Wick, has gotten it at least once. Awesome. Because a studio that was interested in it for TV was like, hey, we love this. This is awesome. We're working with Derek on something else. We're gonna talk to him and see if we can get him to come on board, like to work on it. Because then it would be like the thing that's based on a thing that like by the original guy the thing is based on. Like that would be so funny and so meta. Like and eventually that studio went out of business. So I know that Derek and Keanu have both gotten it.
Awesome. I was gonna say, if Cocaine Bear has his own movie, I'm sure.
Dude, first of all, that movie, I love that movie so much.
It's so good.
I love it so much. I went into it with zero expectations.
Same.
And I left that movie and I was like, that might be the best worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like intentionally bad. Yeah. Movie,
yeah.
And what a way for Ray Liotta to go out,
right,
bro? For real.
I came out of that movie and I immediately text. I have a group text with some friends, and I just said, "Just saw Cocaine Bear. This generation just found its Super Troopers."
Like, dude, right? It is so good.
Wow,
and it's so good.
You know, and I was like, or this generation's like Animal House, or. Yeah.
It's so funny, or like
Van Wilder, like it's like that bad movie that everybody just loves, right?
It was so great.
Yeah,
I have a friend of mine is working with the creator of Cocaine Bear, the person who made the movie, and I said, listen, if they need a sequel, I was like, I've got a treatment called Trample about the elephant that killed that lady and then hunted her down and stomped her corpse. Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
So have you heard about that, Justin?
No.
Okay. So this lady, it was like in Africa or some place. And this lady accidentally harmed this baby elephant. And the mom freaks out and stomps her to death. Yeah. And then they go and they're having a funeral for this woman. And the same elephant shows up at the funeral, breaks her casket and stomps her corpse. And I'm like, like elephants are super smart and they have great memories, but like that's a little crazy. Come on.
Right.
Like,
wow.
That's like a stone cold move there.
Yeah. So I wrote, like, I saw after I read that article, I was like, I went and I wrote this pitch for Trample about these poachers that go, they're trying to catch this big giant elephant. They kill the baby on accident. Elephant kills them. And then like, as their remains are being loaded on the plane, like to be taken back to the US, like this elephant like storms the fucking flight line and like destroys the plane and like through all the fire of the plane, like it's like smashing their bodies. Amazing. It's called Trample. Theaters 2024.
Good Lord. I just want to say
Netflix might grab that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
That's wow. I'm surprised you haven't like gotten just somebody to make it anyway.
Oh, I am. Like, okay. So we're making the ash can of it right now, because I was like, oh, if I make the ash can of it and it exists, then I'll have it. And then if someone takes it and does a thing with it, I'll be like, here, take this, make this a movie.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, unless we get like meth rhino, but.
Oh my God.
Right.
It'd be funny, because then the rhino would be all like skinny and shit. And right? You just push the rhino over and be like, end of movie. It's like,
oh my God.
Or like yeah. it'd be cooler if it was like meth vulture or something, right? Like just death from above. Just like,
have you seen the people that made Sharknado are making zombie tsunami?
No, but that's ridiculous.
Zombie tsunami.
Tsunami, yeah.
Is George Romero like legacy in this or
yes.
what?
Is it gonna be in Pittsburgh? Please tell me it takes place in Pittsburgh.
I have no idea. I don't know where it takes place, but they're like in the trailer, they're in like a boat and the wave like is like lifting up and you just see zombies like in the water. It's so fun. And there's like zombie sharks and there's like all kind of everything. Good zombie Lord. Tsunami. Wow. I was like, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Sure.
Whatever. Why not, bro? It's amazing.
I am in.
Like, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
Crazy. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, like, you do a lot of other books. So first let's talk about Bad Girl, because that's the next sequel series in the same kind of vein we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then for a little bit we'll talk about Curse of Cleaver County.
Yeah.
So cool.
So Bad Girl is the tie-in to Good Boy. It follows a excommunicated mercenary who is sort of like down and out, is, you know, no longer allowed to operate within the organization that Flint Sparks and them all work in. And the only way for you to sort of be sworn into this organization is there's two ways. Someone can vouch for you. Someone high up in the organization can vouch for you and you can be brought in, or you can kill someone who like is excommunicated and basically like bring their scalp to the organization and you earn your entry. So people are constantly coming for her because she's out. She's no longer interested in it. She just wants to get fucking pissed and fuck off. But people are always trying to kind of use her as a springboard into their business. So one of the main characters from Good Boy comes in. I don't want to spoil too much of like what is going on in Good Boy at the time, but someone comes in and is like, hey, look, we have a job for you. I know you're not in this business anymore, but we really could use your help. You know, we're willing to wipe your record, take disavowed off your record and you know, give you a clean walkaway slate if you can do this one thing for us. And she's like, what is the job? And they're like, we want you to kill Flint Sparks. So she gets hired to come and try to kill Flint.
Ooh.
And it's going to be pretty crazy. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I just see it having like a lot of gratuitous violence. And
I think in the ash can that we did, which you'll see at Three Rivers Comic Con, in the VIP bag, you will you'll see like it's pretty over the top already. Like she kills one of the guys in it, and she's like on him like a cat, like she's on his chest. He's like back is broken over a chair, and she's like on him still, while she's talking to somebody. And he's like gurgling and she's just like, shut up. And he's like, it's over the top. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm very excited. And when does that hit the shelf? Like the actual book come out?
The actual book is just about to hit FOC, I think, next week. So I think it's end of the month.
All right. So it'd be like end of June, beginning of July.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I when I was looking through stuff, I saw the ash can, but I didn't see number one solicited yet. So so it should be good.
So it's gonna be amazing. But the people that got the people that order the ash can, there's a there's the normal cover, which is awesome. There's also one by Sveta Shubina, who's this amazing Ukrainian artist. She's unbelievable. Even her like story, like she's lives in Ukraine, like she has no running water, no power, no anything. Like she has to like go and charge her drawing stuff at a cafe and like pay to charge her stuff and then like upload things on the internet there and then go home, draw, do stuff, go back. File for payments, like charge people, upload new art, download anything she needs, charge her stuff, go back. Like it's pretty bonkers. Mm. And she had never done comic stuff before. And her rep, Adam, was a friend of mine. And he was like, listen, I got this chick. She's amazing. She's from Ukraine. She hasn't done any comic stuff. She created the logo for Suicide Girls. And she's done a bunch, you know, the cute girl.
Yeah.
She created that. She did that for them years ago. He's like, she does a ton of like pin-up-y kind of fun stuff, but she's never done comics. And he's like, I want to get her into it because I think people, you know, I think she could be like the next Peter Momoko.
That's awesome.
And she did some stuff for us and she's incredible. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's weird, like, how many pinup artists, like, also work well with the comic end. Like, Dave Nessler, he's coming to our show. He had done, like, Witchblade and a bunch of other stuff. And then, like, guys like Jay Fife, who are pinup guys, you know, 100%, and then they do these like 200 print comics and they just blow them out.
Yeah. I think for a long time it was seen as a step down to do comics, right? Like, oh, like we're artists and we do pinup art and we do this like stuff. It's like more boutique and stuff like that. And oh, comics, I don't know. And they're quickly realizing, I think, that like, okay, but if I do one, so many more people see my stuff right out of the gate.
Right.
And like, I mean, I was tabling next to Peach Momoko before she had ever done a comic cover.
Wow.
And like, she did a cover for me for $200 for Franklin. Wow. And I put it out and it was like right as she was starting to get popular and people were like all about it. It sold out instantly. People were super stoked about it. I mean, now I can't even get her to message me back. And I feel like she is such a high caliber of artist. But I think like by taking that risk and doing some comic stuff, she instantly got an enormous fan base that then launched her into, okay, yeah, I'm not going to just be a cover artist. Like I'm going to have my own series at Marvel.
Right. And like it's weird. Cause like when she first started hitting the scene, like I was like, I don't know. It's like, she does a lot of negative space, which I get because that's her style. And that's the style of like the Japanese art she's doing.
Yeah.
But so some of the covers, I'm like, I don't really care. But like, man, when she did like Demon Days, like the whole book together
was gorgeous. Yeah.
It's just like when she does certain covers, like it's like sometimes she leaves like a little too much negative.
You can tell when she's had a tight deadline.
You can tell
when it's like, oh, this is the thing she's super into.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that like, you know, because when I was working with her, she was doing all of her covers at like 24 by 36.
Wow.
So like, no shit. They're so fucking detailed. She's painting them the size of a goddamn wall. Like, and then by the time you shrink them down, you're like, Jesus Christ, this thing is insane.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when she's got to do 12 covers for Marvel a month, she's not going to do it fucking that big anymore. She's going to fucking be like, okay, well,
let's
go a little bit easy on this show. But she's incredible. And I think that this chick has the potential to be like that. She's really good.
All right. So let's switch gears now and talk about Curse of Beaver County.
Yeah.
Now this is like, so Source Point does you guys do stuff really well. You do crazy weird shit like Good Boy and then you guys do like this whole horror chunk and this fits in with that, right? Because and you can tell because like the Source Point logo for the horror stuff has like that like the war, is that a war corn in it? Like,
or no, it's the fiend. It's the four color fiends. It's like,
okay.
So that is actually the logo for my own imprint at Source Point, four color fiends.
Okay.
So it's the Source Point Chaos Cross, but yeah. Instead of the SP, it's got the fiend head in the middle.
Okay.
I wish I had one right here to show you.
Well, actually, we can bring this up again.
Yeah.
It's on the corner.
Yep.
Yeah, we're talking about this thing.
Yeah, right, it's a little here. Yeah, the little fiend head. So Sourcepoint got its start as a horror publisher, right? Like, it was this underground punk rock publisher, like, oh, we're gonna, you know, travel to 80 shows a year and we're gonna fucking just, you know, make comics and hustle and sell them and do all this stuff and go to horror cons and all that. And then as it got bigger, it became, okay, we don't have time really to do this stuff that we want to do because we're going to publish other people's stuff. We're going to be a traditional publisher. And I think we learned over the last few years, especially, I mean, we just hit our 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I think that we learned over the last couple of years that, like, what we really care about is getting back to those roots of, like, we want to get back to doing horror. We all of us are big fans of horror.
Yep.
And so it was very easy for us to be like, okay, now's the time that we should, like, you know, things like the industry is shifting. The industry is crazy right now. Like, let's, instead of letting it pull us down, let's use it as an opportunity to shift gears and go back to our roots, which is what we want to do.
Right.
So, you know, like, a lot of the stuff we shift to doing, like, internal IP, like stuff that just people within the company are making. And one of those things was, you know, Josh Werner and I had talked for a long time about, hey, we want to make a horror universe. We want to make an internal thing that is just Source Point's thing. And it all exists in the same world, and characters, you know, cross over to different stories and different killers and different whatever. And so I pitched him this concept of Cleaver County. And I said, listen, it's this fucked up geographical area where all this bad shit happens through time, through, like, you know, different cities within the county, different time periods, different killers, different storylines, different subgenres of horror. And I said, every 5 issues we're going to switch a creative team, we're going to switch a killer. Like, every 5 issues, every volume is a different story. Anybody can jump in at any point. You know, if you're right from the beginning, great, you get some cool Easter eggs along the way, but each 5 issues is a self-contained story. And the first one follows my guy, Shank, who's the hooked horror of Port Harlow. My particular brand of horror that I'm a fan of is I love really shitty teen scream slasher movies. like The Faculty.
Oh yeah.
I fucking love The Faculty.
Dude, the soundtrack for that,
it's great. Was
amazing. It's great. In fact,
wasn't the whole cast like pretty much a bunch of Gen X, like,
yeah,
who's who of
Josh
Gen
Hartnett?
X,
or, like,
yeah.
Yeah. What's her name? God damn it. I can't think of her name now. It's so good. I fucking love it. And what's funny is, like, when I say that, you get a whole bunch of people that are like, oh my God, I fucking love The Faculty.
Like, right?
But, like, I love the, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer and yeah. Scream and all of the, like, just so over the top and stupid, like, oh no, I'm running and my clothes fell off. Like, that kind of shit is so funny to me.
Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah, like, I think it's great. And so what I told him, I said, look, I want to do this story about this port, you know, shipping town, this port, where, you know, back in the 1800s, this guy, this longshoreman fell in love with the daughter of the governor, and he finds out about it. And he has them killed by, like, all these sailors down at the docks. He bribes them all to take them out and strap a bunch of fucking grain sacks to his body and dump them in the ocean.
I mean, what else do you do with a longshoreman?
Yeah. So then, like, every few years, he comes ashore and kills the descendants of the sailors and the Harlow family.
Oh.
And Jenny Harlow is our scream queen. She has left Port Harlow and is going to the big city in Cleaver County. It's called Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. She's going to school there. She's an artist. She's a ceramics and sculpture major. She's going to school there, and she's coming home because the company, the dad who runs Harlow Enterprises, the family that owns basically the town, they are selling the town to like an Amazon company that is going to use it as like a throughway.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
like international shipping and stuff. And so they're celebrating that, like, they're going to make $1 billion selling the town to this thing. And coincidentally, while this is all happening, is the time that Shank is going to come ashore and try to kill the Harlow family. So it's fun. Like, she's coming home and it's like she's bringing friends and like from school. And it's just, it's crazy. It's so much fun.
Oh my God. This just sounds like the way you pitched it definitely sounds exactly like those kind of movies. And
Well, and I felt when I was writing it, I told my wife, I said, listen, you got to read this. I don't know if this is like bad, or if this is bad, good. Like, because I'm trying to make, like, it's oddly hard to find the line between like, balance. Like, the reason those old movies are so good is because they were doing it seriously.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Right.
So now trying to replicate the idea that we're trying to make something good by doing it bad is a really hard line to not cross. Yeah. And a couple of times I went, this is too much.
I will tell you, like, I will personally be pitching this book to make sure that Sean Gabbering gets it in his hands, because that dude loves this kind of stuff. He literally wrote a book called Let's All Go Die, or Let's All Die. Right. Have you read this book? Like,
no.
It is awesome. It is like,
I love it.
It's like Friday. I mean, I love the 13th. It just from the title. It's like Friday the 13th, except they know that if they go to the camp, they're going to die. So it's like a bunch of kids who just
I fucking love that.
Yeah,
I love
it. And they're just like, all right, let's do it. And the killer's just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah,
so good.
I think they're like one of the death scenes later in the series, a guy gets beaten to death with his own dick. Like, the whole series, it's a joke that he's got like this huge dick. And then at the very end, he's like running away from the killer and gets like his clothes all ripped off. So then he ends up naked and he falls in like wire. And the killer like rips his dick off and like beats him to death with it. Like, through the face. It's like slow motion dick across the face, like ripping the fucking skin off his face.
That's some fucking like Garth Ennis shit right there.
I was going to say, awesome. That sounds like something out of The Boys.
Yeah. No, actually, it reminds me of Crossed with Horsecock. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
The level of like, when I wrote that kind of stuff, I'm like, Rachel, you gotta let me know if I'm off mark here. Like, this is too crazy. It's so funny. I'm having a great time working on it, and I'm being like, and I can't decide if it's that I'm letting myself get too crazy with it and like going too far. But I mean, everybody that's read it so far, the script is like, this is so funny and stupid, and they're like, and I mean that in the best way, and I'm like, great. That's exactly what I want. I want it to be dumb. I want it to be funny. I want it to be ridiculous and over the top. Like, I don't even care. Like, you know how this ends? All these movies end the same way, right? The killer's going to die, but is he dead? Who cares? Like, it's all about how you get there. And I want it to just be insane.
That's awesome. So,
yeah.
I am super excited to go read this book.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, you just got done with the killer furries, so you know.
Oh yeah, plush. Like, dude, Doug is just absolutely like an amazingly good writer for that kind of weird fetishy serial killer stuff. And
how does it stand up to Plastic?
I still think Plastic was the best.
Yeah,
I think Plush was the second best, and I think Vinyl was the third.
Yeah.
So the middle one was not as good as the other two, but I think Plush just flowed better than Vinyl. Vinyl was very, like, in the middle, kind of got a little, like, far-fetchy more than the other ones.
You mean Plastic, more far-fetched than Plushies killing people?
Well, technically they were eating people, but...
Even better.
Furry's Gone Bad. It's crazy.
I love it.
Well, that dude, it was so good. So good. But Plastic is still my favorite. Too, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Pittsburgh has the biggest furry convention.
Yeah, like we're basically the furry capital of the U.S. So
yeah. They pull like 80,000 furries together every summer.
Jesus.
And they just take over downtown Pittsburgh.
And I will fair warn you. Think a regular Comic-Con smells? Yeah. You really have to hold your nose.
And we're not saying that because furries are weird. Because we're all weird. But those suits have got to be hot as fuck all the time.
And the convention center is like, oh, we have the AC up all the way. I'm like, and all the... I've literally watched two furries like flop down in front of me, like, and they take their suits off and they're drenched in sweat. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like,
that's why if you're smart, you just wear like the head with normal clothes.
So we recently found out that Violent J brings his daughter from ICP, brings his daughter to this. And that's what he does. He has a head and he has like a samurai. Ninja or like outfit. it's like a samurai, like a old school samurai gi, and then like fur hands, but the mask, the fur on the mask looks like his ICP makeup.
That's pretty funny.
I know,
right? That's pretty good.
And part of me's just like, I need to go to Anthrocon just to hunt this dude down and be like, yo dude, I love you.
I don't know, I mean, if he goes every year. I know he's been there a couple times,
right. I mean, I'm going next year. So, yeah.
Nice.
I'm stuck. Well, I make a lot of books with animal characters.
Oh, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And Good Boy will do real good there.
Oh, don't doubt that at all.
Yeah.
You probably sell it after day one, and then the rest of the con, you'll be like, oh, what do we do now?
Well, yeah.
Well, while you're here for that, and because, you know, when you come in 2 weeks for our show, I'm going to be really busy. It's so Justin because he works with me. But when you come in July for that, let me know. We'll grab dinner. It'll be good.
Yes. It'll be a nice break from the smell.
Yeah. I'll be like, so how was it?
Oh, I'm going to love it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just do what they do in CSI. Put the
stuff
under the nose. While
dude, they did a furry episode. Do you remember the furry episode?
Yes. That's like
episode.
Season one, isn't it? That's like
it's
season
like one.
One,
or, one or two. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like a furry dies and then they bring in like another furry and like they have him. He's basically there without his head on. Most of the time he's like holding the head. Like,
interesting. And,
well, no, the furry dies because he gets shot
Miami or the
in
regular?
The desert. No, it's regular. It's original.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the desert because the dude thought he was a coyote.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's... I do remember this episode.
And what was it? A lawyer was in there, and I guess they were talking about the.
That's right.
Was it the? What do they call?
Oh my god!
In it? The the fur sex orgy stuff. It was all about that. I get that confused
they were
with
yiffing.
The dwarf.
Yeah.
The dwarf episode.
Yeah.
Which
was
also messed up.
Oh my god!
But I mean,
I
like,
is that on Hulu? CSI.
No, it's on Paramount Plus.
Oh fuck!
Because it's owned by Paramount.
I'm gonna have to get. God damn it! I'm gonna have to get Paramount.
You should get it for
bad.
The Star Trek stuff, dude.
Beavis and Butthead. Do not forget Beavis and Butthead.
And Beavis and Butthead.
I'm not a Trekkie. I can't get into it.
Dude. Oh, my God.
You better be into Beavis and Butthead.
So good.
I have never seen a Beavis and Butthead episode in my life.
Oh, and then Evil? Do you remember the show Evil? It was on CBS for like one season.
Yes.
It went to Paramount. There's like three more seasons on there. Yeah, the last season comes out this year.
What's funny is I am not a Beavis and Butthead fan at all, but my buddy Sean he loves it. It's his favorite thing in the world. And every time he messages, so Sean doesn't text, he like sends audio messages.
Oh, okay.
That's the only way he communicates. And he sends me Beavis and Butthead voice messages. And when you have a professional, voice actor doing Beavis and Butthead audio clips to you,
that's
pretty convincing. And I save them because they're so funny that like I'm like, someday this is gonna be black. I don't somehow.
So what you're saying is like at the beer release next week, you're gonna be like, dude, check these out. This is hilarious.
What's up? What's up?
Yes.
Yeah, it's gonna be incredible.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, so we're almost out of time. So tell people where they can find or how they could find it on Kickstarter for the vinyl, yep. Where they can find your books, and if there's anything else we missed. And obviously, yeah, so, see you at Three Rivers.
Yeah, if you want to check out the toy on Kickstarter, it goes live next Thursday. You can go to goodboytoy.com and click the notify me on launch button, and it will send you a fancy email and be like, look, this is live, and remind you to back it. To find my books, you can either go to sourcepointpress.com or you can follow me on social media. On every platform, I am at some writer guy, because if you can't remember who wrote it, I don't know, some writer guy.
And at your local comic shops, because they should.
And all be at New Dimension Comics,
absolutely.
I'm sure they have a whole Garrett Gunn section because they love me so much. So.
I'm sure that we have at least one copy of every book in the back issues.
Except maybe
Good Boy One, because that I don't think that made it. The first volume of Good Boy probably isn't.
Yeah.
In the back issues, but I
check
bet
the dollar bins for Garrett Gunn books.
I don't think they made it to there, but check the back issues first.
I was going to say, our regulars are very, cultured comic men. They know the good shit when they see it.
We do a lot more indie than what.
Oh, I know. Most it's amazing. Like to do. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming out.
I'm excited to hang out with you guys in a couple weeks.
Me too.
Yeah, so, it's gonna be amazing. I'm ready to get some Robert Hack beer, bro.
Exactly, dude. I will find the label and I'll show you here once we're done.
All right,
guys, thanks so much for watching. Make sure you go check out your favorite comic shop, buy some stuff, support local. Doesn't mean it has to be us, but you definitely have to buy something somewhere, especially Garrett Gunn's books. It's great. Also make sure you guys check out Three Rivers Comic Con. You can go to threerriverscomiccon.com. Get your tickets now so you don't have to wait in line. You can just scan your phone, throw your wristband on, and in you go. It's going to be a good time. The vendor list is up. The map's up. The panel list is up. All the information you need is right there. And we will see you on the 3rd. So, cool. Yeah. Have a good night, guys.
Adios.